We're on.
Okay, we're in Piskei Tshuva's Reish Ayin Vav. We are in Piskei Tshuva's Entry Yud Aleph, corresponding to Shulchan Aruch Halacha Bet. The heading begins, Al Yedei Nachri Keragil. What's better, to have a goy do a malacha in the ordinary manner, or Al Yedei Yehudi Kelachar Yad, or have a Jew do the malacha in an inordinary manner, kalachar yad, or shinui, different ways of doing something in an inordinary manner, ma'adif, what is preferable? I should do it myself with my elbow to turn on the light if I need a light on, or I should get a goy to say, hey, Mr. Goy, please click on the switch. So the Mishnah Berura quoted like this. The Mishnah Berura said, al shvus di Yisrael atzmo l'kulei alma aser filu mako mitzvah. The Mishnah Berura told us, as we learned last time, that a Jew cannot do an iser d'rabbanim for a mitzvah. A Jew can't go and do the rabbans for a mitzvah. Umizet gam yilmad, and from here we learn, she'adif tfei, it's preferable, asiyas malacha yedei goy, better do malacha yedei goy, as he puts in the bracket over here, but makom shehutar amir lenachri, in a situation where telling a goy is mutter, what's an example? Tzarchei chole, sick person, tinok, child, lahatzel mimichshol, some kind of stumbling block. Okay. So better al yedei goy milasoy so yedei Yisrael b'shinui. Better to break the amir la'akum ban. Better break the ban on telling goyim to do malacha and tell the goy to do malacha rather than a Jew doing the malacha himself in a shinui. V'rak shein shem nachri, but there's no goy around for miles. Hitiru apoyskim b'mikri mesuyamim adishal choli al yedei Yisrael b'shinui. You're allowed to do certain things for a chol if there's no goy around b'shinui. I'm just thinking to myself for a second, and I think it'll become clear in the coming paragraphs, what can I do with a shinui when there's no goy around? Can I do a d'oraisa or only d'rabanan? Just looking at footnote 82. Doesn't really help me, but the next paragraph might help me. U'b'malachos d'rabanan. Now regarding rabbinic violations, Shal Yedea Siyasam Kalachar Yad Havi Trade Rabbanan. So a rabbinic violation, that a rabbinic sin, a rabbinic malacha, that's done in an inordinary manner becomes a double drabbanon.
Unusual manner.
Yeah, unusual is the right word. Okay.
Unusual.
Okay. Becomes a double drabbanon. So Rashi Yehudi Lasoy Zavilu B'Def Shal Yedei Goy. So a double drabbanon, a Jew's allowed to do, even if a goy is around, he says over here. Okay, skip the brackets. V'yesh oimrim, and some say, shegam b'zeh adif amir la'akum, sheyaseh kergelo, even this is the case, better have a goy, do it if you have a goy, to do it in the normal manner by a goy, milasoy saydish yehudi u'beshinui, rather do it by a Jew in an unusual manner. U'makam shehuta yedei nachri d'chatchila, in a situation where it's mutter l'chatchila to do it al yedei goy, u'b'chol inyan, skip the brackets, v'ada yesh asos al denachri v'al yedei yehudi b'shinoi. So, things that are always allowed to be done by a goy, like tell a goy to move muksas, he gives for example, is always better through a goy than through a Jew. I'm just left hanging over here, but this entry Yud Aleph, Is the paragraph talk? What would the paragraph say about a doraisa? Going back to the previous entry, Yud. Right, so the entry Yud does help me, where it was very anti melacha doraisa and Yud.
You said in you're not to rely on a bal iter.
There's something else agreed, right? We don't rely on the bal iter, telling a goy to do anything for any situation. The paragraph Yud Aleph is talking about a chole or a makom mitzvah, someone who's ill. So he's not completely clear. not completely clear to me. He says, look in Shin Chav Ches. We have Shin Chav Ches over here, not in the other volume. But I want to look that up. I had the Shaila come to me before Shabbos this week.
Yeah?
Yeah. Doing a Malacha Dairaisa for a Choli Di Shinui. I think it's allowed. I think the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chaso, if I remember correctly, does say Adoy Reis and Ashinui for Chol is Mutter. I'm quite confident it says that. Okay, let's go to entry Yud Beis. Last entry on this round. Amir Lanachri Bisur De Reisa. Can I tell a goy to do Adoy Reisa? Kedei Lahatzel Cherem Isser, to save others from an Isser. Famous case is the Eruv goes down. There's a storm Friday night. The Eruv is down. Can I tell a guy to fix the Eruv? Even though the guy is going to do the Raisas. So the Mishnah Berurah said, "Mikol Malkum Mutar Lomar Lanachri Latakan Asa Eruv Shniskalka L'Shabbos Kdei Shol Yavo Rabim Yedei Michshol." Mishnah Berurah said, "You're allowed to tell a guy to fix the Eruv that broke, so that many people won't come to break Shabbos." Ugdai Hu Bala Iter Lismach Alav Hatir Shvus Damira. The Bala Iter can be relied upon in this situation. Fiul B'Malacha Dei Raisa. Even though there's derisas involved, b'makom mitzvah derabim. So here's an example where the itur is relied upon, okay, for mitzvah derabim. Many people are involved. Vafilu nikra eruv b'erev Shabbos. And in fact, it would still apply this heter if the eruv broke on Friday. Umishum ma lo tiknuhu, and for whatever reason they didn't get around to fixing it. You can still tell the goy to fix it, even though you were negligent and should have had it fixed before Shabbos. But if you're going to do it, try and hint to the goy rather than tell him directly. If the error can be fixed with only violating the rabbanon, that would be preferred. Like, for example, only making loops, bows in the strings, not permanent knots. Okay. You can tell him directly that he has to do the rabbanons, but for the raisas, it should be berenas, in a hint. V'imacharkach yasehu al dato malachas deraisa, and if he on his own goes and does the raisa, ein lanu esek b'zeh, it's not our business. The yeshikas v'sherabim lavdavka doesn't mean only if many people's sins are involved to save many people from sinning. Elahu hadin im adam garam asherhu, or adam acher, or alulim lavo de'iser. Forget not just the public in Telegoy to save the public from a sin, but even to save another person from a sin. You could have a goy take away the problem that might cause even one other person to sin. Even if it is a deraisa.
So, in the case of the Erev, say the community had contacted somebody to fix it, Erev Shabbos, and they haven't got around to doing it, but only did it on Shabbat.
For sure, no problem. No problem at all. Okay.
But how do the people know?
No, so the ideal situation is that you woke up at 4 in the morning, knew the Eruv was down. Before anybody woke up and started carrying that day, you got the goy. But yeah, what do you do if the Eruv is down? The Eruv is down. People don't know. It depends how big the city is. Can you get the message across very fast, yeah. Yes or no?
I mean, a small shtetl and...
Exactly.
You know, and the pail,
they just
you know,
yelled, Eruv down! Yeah. That was all you need.
Or on Shabbat, the goy says, the Eruv is up.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Okay. Gimel's an interesting one, a fun one.
Halacha Gimel.
Yeah.
Not your Gimel.
Okay, it's page 455 in my English account. Yeah. Im Omer Adam Le'avdo. A person tells a servant, his living help, his slave, whatever you want to call it, the Shifchasoi. Female servant. Leilech imoi, come with me. You say to come with me to the goy. I gotta go to the basement to find some wine. Vehidliko in there, and the goy, knowing he's going to the basement to look for a bottle of wine, lights a candle, lights a lamp, to have light, a flashlight, so to speak, to go to the basement. Even though the goy needs a light as well now to go down to the basement to find a bottle of wine, ein zelat sarach heina Yehudi. Truth be told, the goy ain't lighting the light for himself. Kivan sheikar ha'halicha bishul Yisrael, the goy is lighting the light for the Jew. So meaning a Jew would not be able to get benefit from this light. The problem to do it this way. Says Rama, Umutr Lemar Lena Yudi Lelech Imali told near Dalukvarm. But you could tell a goy, you see that light that's burning right now, that candle burning? Grab that candle and come with me to the basement. They gotta look for a bottle of wine. That is allowed the Khatkhila. Hoyo, since the Aina Oyster Raktil Tulaner Be'alma. Since the only violation here is muksa, and you're allowed to do muksa via goy. Right? There's no malacha taking place. If you tell a goy, grab that candle and come with me to the basement, the candle's burning already. There's no malacha being done. Just an issue of muksa. You're allowed to tell a goy to do muksa. Over here, in the first case, you're telling the goy, come with me to the basement. So you're basically saying, you know, I need light. Or you wouldn't want the goy to come to the basement anyways. Okay, and that's why the Jew cannot get benefit from this light. Once, I guess, the bottle of wine is found, if at all, if you can use light at all, but then you wouldn't be able to get further benefit from the light after the bottle of wine is found. You might not even be able to get benefit to go find the bottle of wine. Let's see what the Mishnah Berurah says. Chav Zayin. Okay. That the Mechaber said, if a person tells his servant to come with him to the basement to find a bottle of wine, and they light a match for that purpose, they light a candle for that purpose, we do not consider that candle to be lit for the goy, it's being lit for the Jew. Chaf Zayin. Davka Nakat. This case is specifically this case. Avalim is Shalcham Bishlichuso. But if you send the goy, you don't go with the goy. The Mechaber's example is that you're going with the goy to the basement and the goy turns on the light. But if you tell the goy to go to the basement and get me a bottle of wine, and the goy lights the light for himself, it's not considered to have been lit for the Jew. Even though the only reason the goy is going to the basement for the Jew. But this lighting of the light, you're off the hook. It's not called lighting for the Jew.
But he wouldn't be lighting otherwise.
Yeah, it's true. But as long as you didn't put yourself and him in a situation where you're going to benefit from the malacha, it's fine. Okay, this is the chatchil. It's not a heter, by the way. This is the principles, the way the thing works. Okay. V'kevan she'ein gufo nene me'aner be'is halakha, because ultimately the Jew is not getting benefit from the light when it's put on. U'mutter acharkach, and even more so, after the goy comes back with a bottle of wine and the light in his hand that he lit, mutter charkak lisol yishtamesh etzal aner, the Jew can continue to get benefit from that light. Ukein zakas of a taz b'sof ha'siman zeh v'zeh l'shono, and the taz writes the same thing, and here are the taz's words. Nirei li, it appears to me, oysoy aner shemadlekes ha'shifcha, the light that the servant turns on, kedei lahadiach klei achila, to wash the dishes. You tell the servant, lady, please go wash the dishes. She goes to the kitchen. She turns on the light to make it more pleasant to wash the dishes. Lo mikrit tzarech Yisrael. The turning on of the light is not called for the sake of the Jew. Kivan she'ein gufa Yisrael nene mimenu. Because again, the Jewish body, the Jewish person.
Is it specific to a servant?
No, it would be any goy.
But if that goy wouldn't be having to do any of the things that as a consequence. So you've got the mention here, the maidservant. Okay, so the light in it, she's able to wash the dishes because she would have to wash the dishes. So if he got somebody, the Jew had got somebody to do something where they wouldn't then have any resultant things to do, it was just a one-timer, so to speak, how would that work? In other words, pull someone off the street.
Right, pause the street. I need, can you please wash my dishes? Sure, I'd love to wash your dishes. And they get added and turn on the light. When you tell a goy to wash your dishes, you don't say which sponges to use, how hard to squeeze a sponge, which soap to use, how much soap to use. It's a job, wash the dishes. And then most people have a brain, it'll be able to wash the dishes. So the goy goes and then turns on the light. There is something to what you're saying, by the way. You're on to something. Piskei Tshuva has mentioned something, what you're on to. But bottom line is, they turn on the light to make the washing dishes easier. Bottom line is, it's called for themselves. Yeah. It's called doing malacha for themselves. Okay. And he, as Mishnah Berurah said, the reason it's mutter is because the Jew is not getting benefit from the light. The goy is washing dishes alone. The Jew is not there when the light is going on. The Jew is not benefiting from the light by washing dishes with the goy. It's okay. The light is a mutter dika light. It's not called a light for a Jew. His dishes can end up being clean by someone, note the wording, who's obligated to clean them, the servant. The tzarka he madleket, she is literally lighting the light for her own interests. And afterwards, the Jew can get benefit from the light. You can tell the lady, don't flick off the light when you're done. You can say that directly. If the goy wants to turn the light, phew, great, you turn on the light. Tell her not to turn it off. Okay? So mutar achar kach Yisrael ishtamesh l'nerzeh af tzarche gufo, even for his own needs. Even the be'ez hadlakos aner, because when the light was lit, hidlika litzarka, she lit it for herself. Umutar, in fact, is permissible, l'sayeya la'ashivcha, you can help your servant, gam badachar sakelim. You can wash the dishes with her. Lifnei nerzeh, with the assistance of this light she lit. And would not let you wash the dishes alongside her with the light she lit. Oh, the Prima Gadim, sorry, is even more machmer than I thought. I mean, it's more lenient than I thought. The Prima Gadim only asters it if the goy turns on the light and then the Jew immediately takes over with the washing of the dishes. So that's a bit of a trickery to get the light on. It seems that she lit it for his needs. But in the case we've been discussing, I guess when she's doing the dishes on herself, on her own, she lit the light on her own interest for herself. Okay, so that is that. Sending a goy on a mission that is essentially a permissible mission, and the goy decides to turn on the light or do any other malacha, you may get benefit from that malacha. So that's considered the goy doing themselves. But if you're going with the goy, you're working with the goy, so the goy is putting on the light for your sake as well, and that's called malacha done for a Jew, or partly for a Jew, which we saw many are machmer, most are machmer. Next entry, chavches. Chavches is going on the fact that even though the goy needs the light to find the bottle of wine in the basement, but the fact that you're going with them makes it that the light was lit for you as well. Chavches, tzrichim lo. Even though the goy needs a light, not enough. Because you're there too, and it's doing for you as well. And it seems to be evidence. Even if there's evidence, the goy lit for himself, the fact that you're around, you're part of the package, and therefore you can't get benefit from the light. Chavtes. This is the case that if you have a pre-existing light, a candle burning, you can tell the goy directly, please grab that candle, go to the basement, find me a bottle of wine, because there's no malacha being done over here, nothing's being lit, it's only an issue of grabbing muksa, and you're allowed to tell the goy to grab muksa. Chav tes in the Mishnah Berurah. Lo yimar leina yehudi, you can tell the goy to take an existing candle. If ein lahatir ela livnei Torah, but this heter should only be done around those who are bnei Torah, those who are knowledgeable. Don't say in front of someone unlearned, hey, goy, grab that candle and come with me. It's very interesting. This is something that should only be done amongst those who are learned. Because if unlearned people see you doing this, they'll say, oh, the guy, I told the goy to grab the light. I'll tell the goy to cook me up a soup. I'll tell the goy to turn on all my lights. I'll tell the goy. They won't realize that the telling of the goy was not a malacha. It was more of a muksa issue. Okay, that's what chavtes is. It's mutter, but don't do it in front of those. Don't do it in front of those who are unlearned. Okay. Lamed. Lelechimo. Lelechimo. Yeah, so you can tell the goy the burning lamp, even if you're going along with the goy, it's still mutter, because it's only a muksa issue. Says the Mishnah Berurah, "Kagon sherotzis yelachim ol limshoch yayim min hamartef." That's my example, exactly what Mishnah Berurah says. You want to get wine from the basement? Or lavi lechem ukai gavna, find bread in the basement, it's dark. Vein chiluk beinir shoshayla v'chelel shoshemen. He says over here, it doesn't matter what is burning. If it's a wax candle or an oil lamp, you can tell the goy to grab whatever's burning and go find the wine you're looking for, that you want to bring. But listen to what he says. Ach b'ner shel shemen, but if it is a oil lamp, nachon lahachmir, it's best to be machmir, shelo lomar le'yehudi she'ilachimo b'mrutza. Don't tell the goy to run. Why? Ki yishar shel yiskarev al yedei zeh shemen lipsilo yisrachek. Because by telling the goy to run, he's going to grab the oil lamp, and as he's running, the oil on the lamp is going to shake and go swish, 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 and the lights get heavier and dimmer, brighter and dimmer, brighter and dimmer. Now, I have a comment on this in a moment coming, but that's what he says. Don't tell the goy to run. It'll cause the oil to swish, swish, swish. It's dimming, it's extinguishing, and lighting. Of course, if a Jew would do it, it would be a big avera. So you shouldn't tell a goy to do this. Now, this Mishnah Berurah is a famous contradiction. There's a famous contradiction. Because in another place, the Mishnah Berurah does allow, and that is the halacha, by the way, you're allowed to tell a goy to do a psik resha. You're allowed to tell a goy to do a psik resha, meaning, you're allowed to tell a goy to do a permissible act on Shabbos, even though a forbidden act will result. What's the classic best example? You're allowed to tell a goy to open your fridge, even though you know the light is going to go on. You forgot to unscrew the light bulb before Shabbos. Okay? You forgot to turn off the light. Nevertheless, you are allowed to tell a goy directly to open the fridge. Because opening the fridge door is a permissible act. The fact that the light goes on instantaneously as a direct action, that is okay for a goy to do. Of course, a Jew can't do that, but a goy can do that. This is exact same thing. Telling the goy to run with the oil lamp, even if it's true that the oil lamp will go swish, 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 you're allowed to tell a goy to do a permissible action, even though a forbidden action will result. Open the fridge door, permissible action. Light going on, forbidden action. Nevertheless, it's still mutter. Same thing over here. Tell the goy to run with the lamp. That's a permissible act. The fact that it'll get brighter and dimmer along the way is of no consequence. So why here is a Mishnah Berurah machmer, but the halacha in another place in Mishnah Berurah, as well as a practical halacha, is that you are indeed allowed to tell a goy to do what's called a psik resha? So it's explained, and I think the Piskei has an entry on this, is because Mishnah Berurah wasn't happy relying on two leniencies. One leniency is telling the goy to move the muksa directly. And the other leniency was this psik resha, swish, 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 swish. So the Mishnah Berurah didn't want us relying on two leniencies. It's a bit of a strained answer because these aren't two leniencies that are coming to build each other up and thereby act more of a leniency. It's not meant to be an additional leniency, the fact of relying on these two leniencies. Mishnah Berurah said, is basically saying, I don't want you relying on two leniencies. You're already telling the goy to grab muksa, don't tell him to run so he does the grama. But again, you are lechatchila allowed to tell a goy to open your fridge door even though the light will go on. Because we paskin that you are allowed to tell a goy to do a psik resha. Okay. Based on what I just said, the Mishnah Berurah would probably say right here, that if the goy grabbed the lamp on his own initiative, you can say, run for it! Because you're not relying on two leniencies. He didn't tell him to pick up the muksa. Yeah, right. He picked up his own initiative. So then you can say, run with it.
But presumably these non-Jewish people that we're talking about are people who are accustomed to what's going on. They're not strangers to the situation. They're servants. They're people who have been...
Yeah, trained.
Trained.
Yeah, good job. Graduated Shabbos Goy. Certified Shabbos Goy. Yeah. Lamed Aleph. Okay, so moving the lamp. We said it's mutter tell a goy to move muksa, to move the lamp, or to lemar toyil the hurach isra muksa, since the only violation going on here is an isra muksa. Well, muksa sharia de tiltul minatzad, and even a Jew can move muksa in an unusual manner. Moshe Kasim Simon Shin Yoral, as it says over there. The Kevan di ba Yisrael Shakili Batsmay, they tilt me outside, and since a Jew could move muksa in an unusual manner, Kigon Dachare Yadav with the back of his hand, Atsila Yadav, his forearms, Kyotzabazin, in similar ways. Kishamavia in a Yehudi, Bisura Leislanba. So you tell a goy to do it, there's no problem. Even though the goy is doing it in a way you can't do it. The goy is going to take the muksa directly. But again, the reason it's explained that you're allowed to tell a goy to move muksa directly is because in any event, you could move it if you really needed to. With your teeth, with your elbow, with your legs, whatever you want. If you really needed to move it, you could move it. So since it's a job that can get done by hook or by crook, we let you take a goy and tell a goy directly to do the movement. Okay, where it says the tiltul esapsila yudeya ina yehudi yudeshul yiganev. There's a case over there that telling a goy to save a wick, to save a candle, kudeshul yiganev or shelo yipased, so it doesn't get stolen or it doesn't get ruined. Asur, that's asur. You can't tell a goy to move muksa in order to protect the muksa. That's not legitimate. The rak tiltul kishahut tzarich lo legufa, only if you need the muksa can you tell a goy to move it. But to save the muksa, you can't tell a goy to move it. It's only if you need tzarich gufo mekomo, you need the place the muksa is occupying, you can say to the goy, please get this hammer off the table. Or if there's a light on the table, you need light in a dark room, you can tell the goy, please take this lamp and bring it to the next room because I need light over there. So that's allowed. That's allowed. Okay, that is it. We are back in Piskei. And that was Gimel. And Gimel brings us to entry Yud Gimel. We're in entry Yud Gimel in the Piskei. Some interesting stuff coming up. Tiltul Neros Dolkim V'Shar Davar Muksa Yedei Goy. This one entry is tricky. Not impossible, but it's tricky. And the heading is moving candles that are burning, or any other muksa for that matter, al Yedei Goy. So he's quoting what we just saw in the Ramah, where the Ramah said explicitly, "Umutar loymar legoy lelechimo litol ner dalukvar." You can tell a goy directly to take a burning candle and come with you. Hoyel beino oiser rak tiltul aner galma. Since the goy is only doing an act of muksa, he's not doing an outright malacha. The kivan di ba yisrael shakilei baatsmo yadei tiltul miratzad. And since a Jew anyways can move that candle, that lamp, if he truly needed and wanted, in a shinui. Kigon b'chorei yadav, back of his hand, or ben atzilei yadav, through his arms. Okay, yotzebazen, similarly, kishamevi ha'im yudi b'sura leislamba, the fact that the goy is going to bring the muksa in a forbidden way for you, meaning in the ordinary way, no problem. So listen to this. V'nechleku shnei gedolei olam b'mashma'ut heter zeh. There's a big machlokes what this heter is and how far it extends telling a goy to move muksa. Meaning, when can I tell a goy to move muksa? And when can I not tell a goy to move muksa? This is the machlokes. The divrei primegadim, according to the view of the primegadim, the muksa machmas gufo chesaron kis, regarding the most extreme muksas, she'asra betiltul tzarach gufo mekomo, which cannot be moved if you need a place it occupies, where you need its service, ele kalachar yad b'shinui, has to be done in an unusual manner, K'moken, so too, ayadei goy, mutter keragil rak letzorech gufo mekomo. What you see over here is you have a muksa that you can't move directly letzorech gufo mekomo if you need a place it occupies or you need its service, what it provides. Even a muksa that you're not allowed to move letzorech gufo mekomo, you are allowed to tell a goy to move such muksa, let's start at gufo umekomo. Meaning, the way I see this, to give it to you in other words, is that you're allowed through a goy one level more lenient when it comes to muksa. Why do I call this one level more lenient? Is because you are not allowed to move the category of muksa machmas gufo or muksa machmas chaser and kis because you need the place it occupies. As you may recall, the only muksa you're allowed to move directly is a klishim lachto l'isser. If you have a klishim lachto l'isser on the table, a hammer, you're allowed to pick up that hammer in the normal manner and move it. Because that category of muksa, klish malachto l'isser, is a category of muksa that's very lenient. You're allowed to move it, letzarech gufo umekomo, because you need the place it occupies, or you need a service. You have a nut to crack, and the only thing around is the hammer. You're allowed to use the hammer to crack open the nut. The more serious level of muksa, muksa machmas gufo, muksa machmas chesaron kis, like a rock. Can't move a rock, it's utter muksa. But you could elbow it out of the way. More severe muksas can be moved in an unusual manner. Elbow it out of the way. Okay. So now what the Prima Gadim is saying is that we use a goy, we'll let you one step more lenient. We'll let you use the goy to move the rock, letzorech gufo o mekomo, as if it would be the hammer for you. Yeah. We're letting you use a goy to move the rock, even though you can't move the rock. Certainly not in the ordinary manner. We'll let you tell a goy to move the rock in the ordinary manner if you need a place the rock occupies or you need the service of the rock. Back to the Piskei Tshuva, second line from the top. Ach lo bishvil sheli paser o yiganev. But you cannot tell a goy to move this type of muksa simply because you don't want it getting stolen or ruined. And he puts in brackets, zulas behefset gadol, unless there's a great loss. Anytime there's a great loss, you're allowed to tell a goy to do the rabbanu. Now, continuing on in the Prima Gadim's rulings of muksa, if the muksa item in general, if the muksa item under discussion right now is not a rock, but it was a hammer, which you're allowed to move directly if you need the place it occupies, or you need its service to cut open a nut, a hammer you can take personally with your hand and move it? So says the Prima Gadim, where you see the bold here. Regarding hammers and the like, Hagam Shalihudi Mutra Tiltu Ragatzorach Gufo Mekomo, a Jew is only allowed to move a hammer, Letzorach Gufo Umekomo Mekomo Makom, nevertheless, Mutra De Goy, Gam Bishil Shalipased Viganev. So you use a Goy for one step more lenient, and you'll be allowed to move the hammer in order to save it from getting stolen or ruined. That is Adkan, end of the rulings of the Prima Gadim. Which is exactly what we saw in the Mishnah Brura. The Mishnah Brura essentially rules like the Prima Gadim. That you're allowed to tell a goy to move muksa machmas gufo. You're allowed to tell him to move it if you need a place that occupies. And regarding the muksa that you could move even if you need the place that occupies, you can tell the goy to move it even to save it from theft or damage. That is a Prima Gadim. You're allowed to go one step more lenient with the goy and muksa. Comes the other opinion, Uladas Rabbi Kiva Eger, the abbreviation is Rabbi Kiva Eger, skip the brackets. Gam beklishim lachtol iser, even with the most lenient type of muksa, klishim lachtol iser, hammer, ein heto yedei goy yoser mima shemutra lehudi. No, you can only tell a goy to move muksa the way you'd be allowed to move such muksa. Can't tell the goy to move muksa in a manner or for a purpose that you yourself are not allowed to move the muksa. That's what Kivigar says. There's no leniencies with the goy. Therefore, ashley de goy kishamatara shali paser yganev. Therefore, you can never tell a goy to move any type of muksa simply because it's going to get stolen or damaged. And he puts in brackets, unless of course it's severe damage, and we know in any situation of severe damage, you can tell a goy directly. Elim ken behefset gadol. This was a great loss. Okay. So this is the machloikis Prima Gadim Reb Kiva Eger. Reb Kiva Eger says, you can tell a goy to move muksa, but only on the exact same circumstances and reasons that you're allowed. So the Prima Gadim more lenient. Prima Gadim says, you're allowed to use a goy to move muksa, one category more lenient than you're otherwise allowed. You're not allowed to move this type of muksa, but tzarakufo mekomo, you can tell a goy to move tzarakufo mekomo. This type of muksa, you are allowed to move tzarakufo mekomo, you can tell a goy to move it even though it doesn't get stolen or lost. Be one step more lenient. That's a prima goddam. Rav Kiviger says, no, there's no more leniency with a goy than to a Jew. New paragraph over here. V'hineh b'mishnah brura matzinu shestam k'aprima goddam. The Mishnah Berurah seems to pass on the prima goddam, as we saw over here in the Shulchan Aruch, in the Mishnah Berurah, you're allowed to tell a goy to move muksa directly and everything, even with a case you can't move it. But as a general rule, you shouldn't hurry to move muksa through a goy. Chada, for one reason, Eket Divrei Magen Avram, B'shem HaRadbaz, because the Magen Avram says the name of Radbaz, Ein Lahoros Heter Zeh L'Bnei Torah. As we saw, you shouldn't do this in front of unlearned people. They won't understand what you're telling the goy to do. They'll think you tell the goy to do anything. In front of ignorant people, you should not be matir. Shalo yitraglu ba'mira le'nachri v'idmu davar le'davar v'yakilu yoser. So the unlearned person is going to, you know, come out much more lenient than what's allowed. The sheni is the second reason you can't do it in front of an unlearned person. We have to take into consideration the words of one of the Tosfos people. Skip the brackets. You can see that's who it is. Rabbi Yaakov Mikorbei, a Frenchman. Shashal al-tiltul ner al-yidegoy. He was asked, can I get a goy to move muksa? Veshivulo, and Tosfos answered, listen to this. Lo tigabo yad. You cannot have any hands touch that muksa. Kisakul yisakul yare yare. He talks about, you should be stoned. You know, it's a bit of exaggeration, of course, but it's so bad it's worth it being stoned. Whoever messes around with the rabbi's enactments, it is like you're poking yourself in the eye. And there are certain areas where the chachamim were more strict with the rabbanans than they are with the raisas. Therefore, the chatzchila yeshli siachas l'tiltul muktzal yidei nachri k'shar kol shvus teshvus. Therefore, you should treat moving muksa with a goy as you would other double drabanans. Ve'im lahatir, and it's only permissible, elav makom tzarech gadol, great need, tzarech mitzvah, choli, okay, orchim, someone's ill, you have guests coming. Ve'oimer le'nachri la'avi lo ner dalog v'cheder acher. And if you tell a goy to bring the lamp that's on in the other room to this room, because this room is dark, here's an interesting one. You told a goy, there's a candle on in the next room, bring me that candle because I need light in this room. And the goy says, forget that. He goes and turns on a light in front of you, takes out a match, lights a candle, no problem. Roshei ha-yehudi l'shtamash l'oro, the Jew can get benefit from the light. Ki ha-nachri aso la'atzmo zos machmas atzusoy. The reason the goy lit the candle now, he's too lazy to get up his rear end to go to the other room to bring the lit candle. I'm not going to the other room, I'll just light your candle right now. That's called the goy doing it for his own convenience. And the Jew's allowed to get benefit when the goy does it for his own convenience. Yudalit. Okay, Yudalit is also slightly complicated, but not as complicated as it looks.
In the days in which this was written, well, not the Piskei Teshuvah, you know, that's a modern...
Yeah.
Well, upon what he's commentating upon...
Right, the Mishnah Berurah.
Yeah. The people had long-time trusted servants, so these scenarios are less likely.
Why?
Because the non-Jew, the servant, the maidservant, whatever, would know what to do, would know what the score is. They would know...
Right.
They would know what...
Right, but they're going to make mistakes at the very beginning. And this is a good example of a mistake they might make. Bring me light in the other room. Forget that. Put the light on. We have to know that's mutter. But you're right. After a while, after Shabbos, say, I didn't want you to put on the light. I want you to go to the next room. And they're trained. They train.
That's the point of it.
They learn on the job. They learn on the job. Okay, so this one, the next one is interesting. It's very interesting. It's very practical. Amir l'nachri l'asos malachas heter, who was so b'ofen iser. Very famous case. The most common case, in fact. Telling a goy to do something that is essentially permissible, but the goy chooses to do it in a forbidden manner. That's okay. Classic example, please wash the dishes. The fact that the goy goes, sure, I'll wash the dishes, goes to that kitchen, turns on the light, turns on the hot water, takes out the sponges, so squeezing, drying, squeezing, what, all the malachas? No problem. You told the goy to do something permissible, it's none of our business the goy did it in a forbidden manner. Another example is, you say, here, take this package to my friend around the block, please. A sitter, there's an Eruv. Tell the goy, please, do me a favor, take this to my friend. And the goy wants to get in the car and drive to the friend around the block and then bring it that way. No problem. Because you are allowed to tell a goy to do something on Shabbos that you yourself could do. You can tell a goy to do anything you yourself can do, and we don't care that the goy is going to do it in a forbidden manner. That's what this is about now. The Mishnah Berurah said, "Ukein ze kosav ataz b'sofes imenzal v'zal ze l'shono." The Taz wrote as follows: "Nearly, also aner shemadlekes hashifcha kedei ladiach kli achila, the light that the servant lights to do the washing of the dishes. Shachlu, you ate from lo mikri tzarach Yisrael. That's not called being lit from behalf of the Jew. Kivan she'ein gufa Yisrael ne'enem yimeru, because ultimately the Jew's not getting better from the light." Ultimately, the Jew is not getting benefit from the light. You sent a guy to wash the dishes. The guy chose to turn on the light in the room. She's washing the dishes. You're not getting benefit. You're not in the room with her. El kelim shalom mudachim. The only benefit you're getting is you have clean dishes, which you could have done yourself. Vehi chayeves adicha matzorcha. And she has vehi chayeves adicha. It's her job to wash the dishes. Letzorcha imad lekes. So it's for her own need. She puts on the light. Umuter harkach liyisrael ishtamesh bener ze af letzorcha gufo. And it's mutter afterwards for the Jew to continue to get benefit from the light that the goy lit to wash the dishes. You can even tell her, don't turn it on. Okay, now we're going to have a big discussion about this heter. Lafi divrei gdolei poskim itiru mugbal, haheter mugbal b'shnei tnaim. This heter of telling a goy to do something permissible, even though they're going to do it in a forbidden manner, has two conditions. One condition, she'ena yudi zakuk lishtamesh b'kelim mudachim el davka b'shabes. In the case of the dishes being washed, it can't be that you must have those dishes for the Shabbos. Maybe you only need the dishes for Tuesday. Let's look at that in the words again. She'ena Yehudi zakuk lishtamesh b'kelim mudachim elu davka b'Shabbos. That the Jew doesn't truly need, exclusively need these dishes for Shabbos. That's one requirement to make use of this heter. That the dishes aren't necessarily, they probably will be used for Shal Shudis, but not necessarily. Bet, second condition.
In other words, you had some other stuff that you could have used.
Right, exactly. Bet. Davka b'sharetes asher chayeves ladiach hakelim. We're talking about a goy, I think you alluded to in the past today, that it works for you. She has a job to do. V'imlot adiach ata tistarech lasois zois lachar Shabbos. Now, if the goy won't do the dishes now, the goy will be forced to do the dishes after Shabbos. The goy wants to go out to the bars after Shabbos, to the pubs. So the goy wants to get the job done with now. And so she wants to do the dishes now, she can be free to go to the bars with the boys after Shabbos. When these two conditions are met, yes, the Jew can go get benefit from the light after the boys finish washing the dishes. In fact, it would be true even if the goy would not have been able to wash the dishes without lighting the light. Okay. Want to take a quick look at 104, footnote 104. Okay. Ve'im yesh efsharut ladiach hakelim gam lo or aner. Now, if the dishes could have been washed without lighting the extra light, El Shanoach LaYoter Boroner, which just prefers to have the extra light on, it's nicer. Rishayim Ach LeTzavos LaDich HaKelim, you could even tell her to do the dishes. Ah, so the till now, was the goy knows on her own to go and to wash the dishes. And that's why it's okay, even if there's no previous light on at all. She goes and turns on the light. You'd have to get benefit after that light. It's her job. She knows. It's autopilot. She comes and washes the dishes. But if dishes could be washed with the existing light, El Shanoach LaYoter Boroner, but just more convenient, more pleasant to wash the dishes with more light, Rashayim Af Letzavos LaLadir. You could even tell her, go, please wash the dishes. V'lahanos Moraner Shud LaLika LeTzorakach. You can later get benefit from the light she puts on for this purpose. Afilu im ein kayamim shnei tnaim hanal. This is true even if the two conditions in the previous entry, in the previous paragraph, were not met. Okay, so the first paragraph, the first beginning of this entry, is not telling the goy directly, and the goy does their job. In the second entry, you can tell the goy directly if there's some light on there, and you get benefit from the light. It doesn't matter. I guess it doesn't even matter if you need the dishes that day or not. There's no restrictions like we had in Bet. We mota dvarim, and it comes out from this. Skip the brackets. Nilmad k'mokel enikol sharan yanim hamutar masiyah sam gam leYehudi. We learn from here that anything that a Jew can do on his own, the omer leinu yedila soysam, and the Jew prefers to tell the goy to do it. Who oisam b'derech iser, and the goy goes and does it with a malacha k'dei lahakel alav hamalacha, to make the job easier for him, for himself or herself. Shame was that kol iser, it's no problem whatsoever. Kiltorko ose, the goy is considered to be doing the malacha for his own convenience. Beimanu esek b'ayfen asiyaso, you don't have to get involved with the way he chooses to do it. So in summary, till now, you are allowed to tell a goy to do anything on Shabbos that you yourself can do in a permissible manner. The fact that the goy chooses to do it in a forbidden manner, that's okay. In the case of the light and the dishes, if there was some light on already, you'd even be allowed to tell the goy directly to wash the dishes. If there's no light on, it would have to be an autopilot system where the goy knows it's his or her responsibility to wash the dishes. Amnam, however, he says over here, Gedolis manen regbilu ma'od heter zeh lebali yifrot chalila gedarei ktushas Shabbos. The rabbis, later rabbis, today's poskim, severely limit this heter. So the boundaries of Shabbos don't get broken. The Isra Amir Lenachri Befrat, we want to protect the Amir Lenachri. The Od Haziru Shalol Distamech al Heter Ze'el Vishnei Tanaim. He should only rely on this heter of telling a goy to do something permissible with two Tanaim. Two conditions. Aleph. Keshachen lefi derech bnei Adam nitam asois malacha zu belo malachos asuros. Then in theory, the Jew can do this job without doing malacha, like washing the dishes, like bringing a book to someone across the street around the block. Nothing too out of the ordinary. Regular errand, regular chore. And bet, she'em bo mishum afsha milsa v'zilusa de Shabbos. There's no noise being generated from the work. You can't have the goy vacuum the house, right? If you tell the goy, please pick up the stuff from the carpet, the dirt from the carpet, and the goy takes out the vacuum, that you can't allow. So that's av shamilsa, that is making noise. You can't make noise, that kind of noise on Shabbos. Okay, dahainu shelo yishtamshu v'machonot gedolot hamarishot. You should not use loud making machines. O hanir os la'ein kol ki'uvdin dechol, the often bolet, it looks like you're doing weekday activities. Bifratim oisim ken derech keva sheyesh la'asur be'achlet, and certainly don't do it often. But bottom line is, this basically comes down to, there's no restriction. You can't make noise. You can't have the vacuum cleaner going on, okay? But all other activities that you yourself can do, with all the current conditions around now, that you yourself can do, you're allowed to tell a goy to do. We don't care if a goy does it in a forbidden manner. Okay. Tesvav. Amir l'nachru l'sois m'lach again.
If you're doing the dishes, and you're doing it for after Shabbat, isn't that?
That's forbidden for a Jew.
Okay.
Right, so I get the question all the time, can I wash the dishes on Shabbos? There's no goy around. If I say yes, why? You're washing the dishes for after Shabbos. You won't need the dishes anymore. So, no, I say, pretty close, that helicopter.
Yeah. Pretty damn close.
No, it wasn't quarantined. It wasn't. No, but Sanders is going to have a problem now, because anyone in Chutz Laaretz has to keep away from 100 something. But I have an easy answer for that. Easy solution. If you're one of the Asara Rishonim in Shul, the Minyan, you're one of the first 10 to come in, who's just going to be 100 people? You get it? Here's the alumnus?
Yeah.
I think Lahalacha, I'm talking about Lahalacha. It says you cannot congregate in a place with 100 more people. If you're there first, there's not 100 people. The fact that 100 people come, it doesn't say you have to leave. Alumnus, I'm a law-abiding citizen. I'm into Dina Mechusadina. But that one is an odd one. If you come back from Chutz Laaretz, you can't be a place with 100 people. How do I know there's going to be 100 people where I am?
100 people is an arbitrary figure.
Well, you also quarantined for 14 days.
No, that's only several countries.
In the United States.
But any Chutz Laaretz, you can't go 14 days in a place that's 100 people or more. So come be the first in Shul with 100 people. In fact, 100 people come later, it's not your problem. Anyways, okay, so what's the heter to wash dishes? Heter to wash dishes today, even though there's no goy around, is because you want your house to look nice. You want your house to look nice.
Oh, okay.
If you have the dishes piled up all Shabbos long, your house doesn't look nice. If it's a summer, it might smell. Flies might come. And that's heter to wash the dishes, which I'm very pro. That heter to wash the dishes. Make the house look nice for Shabbos.
Well, then we have, let's do one more quickly. We have one time for one more. The last one of this. Yes, Vav.
Amila Nakas was Malacha Heter. She has a Psik Resha. Malacha's Isser. We spoke about this before. Telling a goy to do a Psik Resha. Again, telling a goy to do a permissible act, even though immediately a forbidden act will come. Classic examples of fridge light. Yes, you can do that. So Mishnah Berurah said, Achben Ershel Shemin. He's quoting the Mishnah Berurah that said, oddly enough, that we have the oil lamp. Don't tell the goy to run, because you're telling the goy to do swish, swish, swish. Yeah, we spoke about that. And I mentioned that that's a chumrah. It's weird because we're allowed. Let's start the Piskei Tshuvas. But Magen Avram ve'od achroidim lo'ichmiru b'zeh. The Magen Avram and others were not machmir about this. Al piyam v'vor b'ramah, as Ramah says in Reish Nun Zayin, she'ein esrasiyas malacha al-dei goy b'psik reisha. There's no problem to do malacha by a goy if it's a psik reisha issue. V'atam shichriya mishnah berurah hachash shemeanah. Hu al-pi divrei Rav Gan Rav Kiva Eiger. The reason, as I mentioned outside before, that the Mishnah Berurah seems to be machmir over here is based on a Reb Kiva Eiger. You're already being lenient telling the goy to move the muksa. A Jew couldn't move such a muksa. So you're telling a goy that's enough of a leniency. But telling a goy to do something permissible, even though concurrently or immediately thereafter, and Isser is going to come out from this. Since it's not your intention, you want to get into your fridge to get your filter fish. You don't care the light goes on or not. You can't open the fridge because the light will go on. But you don't care the light goes on or not. You need your filter fish. No problem. But if you actually do want the light to go on, then it's a shayla. You're allowed to tell a goy to do psik reisha if you're happy with the result that comes from psik reisha. That's machlokes. If I make a welcome tzorach a mitzvah tino kocholik tzas yeshol milismoch, in a time of need, you're allowed to rely on that and you can make use of, you're happy the goy does his work. That's the malacha. V'adugmaot mitzuyot meguvanot v'yoter v'nashkim mitzasan. Here's some examples of this. Amir l'nach l'ptoch beres mayim achamim mufal adei boiler. Telling a goy in America to put on the hot water. Because when you put on the hot water, the cold water comes in and heats up the cold water, makes it hot. That's psik reisha. You're allowed to have a goy do that. Turning on the tap is permissible. It's what happens a minute later when the cold water comes in, that's forbidden. You can have a goy do that. Okay, sha'al yidei kach, nifasim ladud mayim karim bishamemu, the cold water will come in and get heated up. Another example, psichas bakbukim mekusaot shimurim, opening packages, he doesn't say it, but even if writing will get erased. Psichat daltot shal bayis o shal kelim u mechonot hashmalim shonim u mechoniyot. Open your car door. That's an example. You forgot your challahs in the car. You can tell the guy, open my car door, even though the light will go on, no problem. Because opening a car door is permissible. The only reason it's forbidden is because the light will go on. You can tell a guy to do a permissible thing, even though a forbidden thing will happen. Okay. Psichas giras delta mekarer. And it ends off with my famous example. Opening the fridge door. Kashera or yidalek. The light will go on. Bichabe yodikach and go on and off. The kolka yitzah, but anything similar is allowed. So a permissible act that leads to an immediate forbidden act, a Jew, of course, can't do, but you are allowed to tell a goy to do such an act. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Great learning.